Norm Shealy. You are listening to Infinite Consciousness, your infinite access to the world
of the mind.
Welcome to Infinite Consciousness tonight, and thanks for listening. This is Eva Herr, and tonight we have with us Dr. Carolyn Dean, and we're going to talk about her book, The Magnesium Miracle. How are you, Dr. Dean?
Oh, I'm just great. Thank you very much for having me on. Oh,
I'm so glad to have you. I've read this book probably 3 or 4 times and referred at least 50 people to it.
Oh, so that's fabulous.
Before we get started, why don't you tell us a little bit about you, where we can find you, and how you got to do what you're doing.
Oh, very nice. Yes, I did my medical program first, and after I did medicine, I did naturopathic training. This was up in Canada, and I was very interested in before going into medicine in nutrition and lifestyle. So I just wanted to make sure I was covering all the bases by doing medicine. Because what happens in medicine is we forget about anything to do with nature and nutrition. And in naturopathic medicine, we tend to sort of ignore the science. So I try to bring them both together. And along the way, I began writing books, and Ballantine Random House asked me to write a book on magnesium. And I'm so happy I did, because, as you know, it's such a simple mineral supplement that most people can take even without the advice of a practitioner and get health benefits from that simple mineral.
It's changed my life.
Oh, really?
Yes, it has. Okay, so let me get some questions, because I only have a million for you. So the first thing I want to talk about is, we know magnesium is a mineral, but there are many forms. So does it matter which form we take? And you don't talk, I don't think, about magnesium lotion, and maybe it came out after that, but I'd like to know what you think about transdermal magnesium.
Yes, in the second edition, and that book was called Magnesium Miracle, you'll find information about, I call it magnesium oil in the book. And how I came across that is, after the first magnesium book, I wrote a book on irritable bowel syndrome in IBS for Dummies, in the Dummy series. And, of course, I realized, well, people with IBS diarrhea, they can't take oral magnesium because it acts like a laxative on a sensitive stomach. So I came across the magnesium oil research that Dr. Norm Shealy had done, and he said if you can get people to put it on their skin, magnesium oil is mainly just magnesium chloride supersaturated in distilled water. It's not really an oil at all. But if you can put that on your skin, he was finding that people could absorb enough that it seemed like they were getting an intravenous dose of magnesium. So I began writing about that, and after the second magnesium book was published, I came across an angstrom-sized magnesium. There's a company that breaks the minerals down into a size that actually can be absorbed through the cells, because what we learned from the physicists who don't talk to the doctors, who don't talk to the nutritionists, but the physicists have found that the size of the mineral channel that allows minerals in and out of a cell is between 4 and 5 angstroms in diameter. And if you take what I call a dirt mineral that causes the laxative effect, that can be thousands of times bigger than the channel that it's trying to push its way into. So the breakthrough for me in using magnesium and using minerals is to get them into the cell, because that's where they have to do their action. And I'm developing, you know, hundreds of stories from people who are taking both the transdermal and the angstrom magnesium and getting much more benefit than they ever did with the other forms And just briefly, the other forms, the most common one is magnesium oxide, but that's only 4% absorbed. I'm most often for people who can tolerate oral and who need it because they have constipation issues, I use a magnesium citrate powder. And then after that, I go to the transdermal and to the angstrom magnesium.
Where would you get the angstrom magnesium? I've never heard
it's
of that.
It's on the... Right, yes, it's fairly new, so there are small companies that have it. Can I give the name of the company?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Right, the one that I've researched most, and I don't have any financial interest in this company. It's called Complete H2O Minerals, and they have their store site is 123minerals.com. And they're a reputable company. They do a lot of analysis on their product. And they're the ones that have the university that's nearby their offices in, South Carolina, I think, do the testing and show that their minerals are 100% absorbed immediately at the cellular level.
So that means diarrhea.
They do not. I mean, I'm a sufferer of that side effect of oral magnesium, and I can assure you I have absolutely no problems with this form of magnesium, and it allows me to take someone who is so sensitive to life and the world and food and everything that they can't tolerate anything by mouth. And even one of my most recent clients, she tried to do the transdermal magnesium, and it put her into such a detox reaction that it set her back in her health.
What do you mean, what did it do?
Well, it started stirring up heavy metals in her system, mercury and heavy metals. It started mobilizing them, and without a chelator to grab the mobilized metals, they just start recirculating into your brain and start irritating your nervous system.
So what would you have?
Tingling of like nerve tingling, numbness, cold hands and feet, more brain fog, autoimmune type symptoms almost. But there, what can happen is if you take too much of a good thing, which, you know, she knows she needs magnesium. I know she needs magnesium. But if you give someone too much, it starts revving up the 325 different enzyme functions in the body, and it sort of sucks in all you've taken, starts revving things up to the point where, you know, a person is almost too energized. They're buzzed with it. And then, you know, you're afraid to take more, and then you crash again. So it's like it revs up, let's say, your adrenal glands, and the adrenals start you know, turning over faster, and the body thinks it's going to start be more productive, and then it crashes because it can't sustain the push with the supplement. So a lot of people, when they crash after they take a good thing, it's because of toxicity. So the point about the angstrom magnesium and angstrom minerals in general is you can take a few drops, which may be just a milligram or two of magnesium, and slowly start getting the body used to having what it needs.
What was the name of that company again?
Complete H2O Minerals.
Okay.
All and right. That would be, the website would be CompleteH2OMinerals.com.
That's interesting. Because I'm a magnesium waster. So I do a lot of transdermal magnesium, but I've had some weird symptoms lately. I see. You know, I had no clue, and when you started telling me this, it's like...
What happens with even the transdermal, Eva, it's a magnesium chloride. So it's not straight magnesium. So you've got some chloride in there. You've got the size of the magnesium is too big for getting directly into the cell, so some of it will get in, it'll start breaking down, but it creates a lot of activity in the tissues and in the body that is not focused on magnesium working at the cellular level. I'm not a physicist. I don't know exactly what's going on, but I know from my clients that if you're taking something other than a straight magnesium at the angstrom level, the percentage of it that's not absorbed into the cells is going to go around the body and do other things.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I didn't know that. That's very interesting. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I could spend the rest of the show on that, but I'm not going to do that. I'll call you back later and have you back. All right. Interesting. Okay. So why would somebody need to take extra magnesium to begin with? What can it do for you?
As you know, in the book, I've got about 22 different conditions that have been researched and proven to be associated with magnesium deficiency. So they range, you know, from asthma to any sort of bowel disease. Even if you have diarrhea, you can have cramping that is a muscular spasm. So maybe just to start and say that magnesium relaxes muscles in the body, and when there's less magnesium than there is calcium, calcium tightens up muscles, so you can get into spasms that create many different symptoms.
So one of the things that I noticed that helped me with is I get these funny breathing, I call it funny breathing episodes, where I feel like I can't get a good breath. And when when I take magnesium, that stops. It goes away. Go ahead.
That can be a muscular component where the muscles around your rib cage are a little tight. So when you try to take a deep breath, you just can't do it. It's like you probably have gotten Charlie horses. So it's like a Charlie horse in your breathing muscles.
I got arrhythmias, and this made it go away. It was good. So you also say that it's has a lot to relate to the statins, that it's similar to statins. How is that?
Yes, that's quite amazing. The an enzyme that that requires magnesium for its activity helps to work with the cholesterol in the body. If this enzyme is working properly, then it will keep lower cholesterol. Or if cholesterol is too low, it'll help increase cholesterol, because we need cholesterol for our hormones and for our brain. And by taking a statin drug that kills that enzyme to try to stop stop making cholesterol, it's like we go in and think we know what we're doing, but what happens is you lose the balance of cholesterol and you lose its function as in hormones and brain. So men take cholesterol drugs, the statin drugs, they lower their cholesterol, but then they lower their libido as well. But that fits in with drug company marketing, because then they have to get a prescription for Viagra. So the whole business can be, you know, circumvented by taking magnesium. And I have people who tell me their cholesterol balances out, their blood sugar balances out, they no longer have diabetes. Even with people who have diabetic neuropathies, it improves with magnesium, because magnesium is important for the muscles and the nerves.
Does it help with depression too?
Very much so. It works with the serotonin, the neurotransmitter that the Prozac type drugs are trying once again to force higher levels of serotonin. The Prozac drugs, they'll stop serotonin from being broken down in the brain, and the levels go higher and higher, but a person might just need their serotonin levels a little bit high. So with magnesium, you balance your serotonin, you help the adrenal activities, so the adrenal glands aren't too trigger happy and creating panic attacks or anxiety, And helping with general muscle tension is important for people who are depressed, because if you're tense, then, you know, you're very irritable, and, you know, you can fall into symptoms of depression. Insomnia is really a big symptom in depression, and once people start sleeping, their depression can lift. I've had people call me from all over the country telling me, well, as soon as I took magnesium, I started sleeping, and all this business about me being depressed disappeared because I was able to get my rest.
If you are someone that's been taking diuretics, and
mm-hmm.
and it's obviously depleted your mineral levels, how do you stop taking those and use minerals to balance out naturally?
Yes, in the book I try to caution people that if they're going to, well, self-medicate with magnesium, especially if they're on medications already, you really have to work with your doctor on this, because what happens when you start taking magnesium is your blood pressure will become lower if it's high. It'll balance up to normal if it's low. You won't need, therefore, diuretics if your blood pressure is normal. But if you keep taking diuretics, then you're going to be continuing to drain off your minerals, so you can create a mineral imbalance. The diuretics, we think that we just lose potassium with them, but it's more than that. We're losing some sodium, and we're losing as much magnesium as we are potassium. And the problem with measuring that is that in the bloodstream, there's only 1% of the total body magnesium is in the bloodstream. So when we take a blood sample, it looks like everything is okay, because the body tries to guard that 1% very, very strictly. So doctors are in the habit of not doing magnesium blood tests, because they think, well, it's always normal anyway. So they're really missing a huge sector of people who have heart disease simply because of magnesium deficiency.
So how do you test? What tests do you use?
There's red blood cell tests, and most labs are able to do red blood cell tests. In the red blood cells, there's about 40% of the body's magnesium is found in our cells, so that's a more accurate test. If people can't convince their doctors to do that test, naturopaths and chiropractors can do a test called the EXA test. And that's EXATEST, and the website is exatest.com. And that is a scraping of the skin from underneath your tongue, and that's put on a special slide and sent to this lab in California. And they put it under an electron microscope, and they're able to do a certain stain that allows them to see several mineral levels in your cells. The other test that's a research test still is ionic magnesium test, or ionized magnesium. There is an ionized calcium test, and unfortunately all the focus and minerals in medicine is on calcium, so hopefully they'll soon have an ionized magnesium test other than just for research.
What does that mean to the average person that's listening to this show? What do you mean by ionized test?
Ionized would be just taking a sample of the actual magnesium at the molecule of magnesium, or the ion of magnesium, to know how much is circulating in your body. So it's a very accurate representation of the total amount of magnesium in the body. And that's where a lot of the studies are on magnesium. That's where they do their research on this ionized magnesium. Burton and Bella Altura, the two doctor researchers who did the foreword to my book, they invented this test, and they hope that it would be more widespread by now so that we could start identifying more magnesium deficiency, but I guess it's not a you know, financially valid test because it really, you know, hasn't taken off and the public has no access to it. So I'm left to tell people that, you know, they can look at the 100 factors that are related to magnesium deficiency. I have that in the book. And it can be taking more than 7 drinks of alcohol a week can lower your magnesium. If you tend to be angry a lot, that lowers magnesium. People with angina, apathy, arrhythmia of the heart, as you mentioned, asthma, anxiety, all these things relate to low magnesium. So I tell people, go through the 100. If you have a dozen or so symptoms, then it's worth a trial of magnesium to see if it helps your symptoms.
Why does someone magnesium waste, Carolyn?
I don't know that.
Why are we doing that?
Yeah, I know I'm doing it, but I haven't had the, there's a 24-hour urine test that you do before and after an intravenous dose of magnesium just to prove it. But it may be, you know, some sort of enzyme lack, a genetic thing. I have no idea, but I'm glad I found out that I have that. I didn't realize it until I was doing the research for the book.
Well, you enlightened me about it. Speaking of enlightenment, I'm going to ask you about chi, and then I'm going to ask you something that you probably hadn't thought about before. So why is magnesium thought to be the chi of life?
Because I put that in the book about chi. I don't know if I've read
everybody
that elsewhere.
Claude Watson is a physicist friend of mine. He's an MIT Princeton physicist. He says it too.
Wonderful, because what I've read is that it's the spark of life. It's the energy of the body. If you remember in science class or chemistry class, you take a strip of magnesium and light a match to it, and it just burns like a firecracker. So it is the spark of life. So when you think about the energy of the body, you think about chi, and I think about magnesium as giving us that kind of life force boost.
Well, it is kind of, you know, sparklers that kids play with are made out of magnesium. So if you think about it, you know, when neurons start firing, that's probably what they're burning up.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I started asking a lot of this, well, the very serious spiritual seekers that are scientists that come on my show, if they hear a noise in their ears, a high-pitched frequency, every single very serious spiritual seeker hears that sound. And it starts out kind of randomly from one ear to the other. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. But it eventually comes to all the time. And they also have noticed that when they have that sound, that it's, Irvin Laszlo told me that it was B-flat, which is also the sound that comes from black holes and the sound of silence. And they they create a lot faster. But another thing, all of the people that have this have magnesium problems. So I wonder if the spiritual, you know, people that have changes, epiphanies in consciousness, if it doesn't somehow increase their resonance, which would burn up more magnesium. Does that make sense?
Well, it's very interesting because I have constant tinnitus. I just thought it was, you know, ringing in my ears. I say it's the dolphins are talking to me.
Yeah, everybody thought that, but when they stopped and thought about when it started coming, I mean, I'm sure it's got the physiological thing of not having the magnesium and the wasting, too. That everybody said it started happening when their spiritual path got serious.
Uh-huh.
So I just wondered if you had ever thought about that.
I hadn't thought. I mean, I certainly, it's very interesting. I have a deafness problem and constant tinnitus that I developed in my late teens.
Interesting.
Which is when I ran away from home and started looking into what did I call it? Looking for the great work.
Yeah, everybody that has a dark night of the soul that went through some trauma like that has this thing now. Everybody. Norm said it, Norm Shealy, Bill Tiller, Irvin Laszlo, all the, and it goes, Swami, all the people said they have it. It's interesting. Okay.
We should start a club. But thank you for bringing that up. That is very interesting.
Larry Doss even talked, you know, I asked him about it the other day. He went, yeah, now that you mention it, I do have that. And it does seem kind of like it coincided with the events in my life.
Right.
Okay. The next question I have for you is what is the relationship between magnesium, C-reactive protein, nitric oxide, and inflammation, if any, that you can tell us about to help better understand heart disease?
Right. I talk a little bit about that in the book. The research was just starting to come out a few years ago, or the whole business of the metabolic syndrome and syndrome X and all these factors where medicine started noticing that people who had high blood sugar had high blood pressure, and everything seemed to be going together. And then C-reactive protein, which tests for inflammation, they discovered that. I think it's all very interrelated, especially when I realized that magnesium was important for cholesterol balance and blood sugar balance. And then reading about Syndrome X, some of the doctors started saying, I think it was Dr. Rudnick, started saying that magnesium was necessary to lower homocysteine. And we know magnesium is important for inflammation. I mean, you can rub magnesium on a painful site and the inflammation and pain goes away. So I think it's very interrelated. I don't know if we have all the mechanisms, but it's definitely something that medicine should be looking at, but unfortunately they just keep looking at drugs like C-reactive protein. I know that research shows if you're overweight, you have high C-reactive protein, and you lose 10 to 15 pounds, your C-reactive protein goes down. So it's related to toxins, to fat metabolism, to blood sugar metabolism. But instead of you know, focusing on that and putting people on lifestyle programs, they keep trying to find new drugs to give people. And one of the things that I was mentioning to you by email is instead of giving people fish, I'm teaching people how to fish. I have a program, a 48-week wellness program called Future Health Now, where I'm giving people hundreds of very simple-to-do therapies, exercises, information about nutrition so that people can learn about their bodies, you know, a few tips and facts every week for 48 weeks so that you can slowly change your life rather than people running out and getting the latest celebrity supplement that they think is going to make them live to 100.
So how do they do this? Is it online? Do they come to Maui and see you? How do they do it?
No, wouldn't that be fun? I have an online program. Everybody's online now, so that's where I've gone. I have all these written books. I just found out I've got book number 18 out there now. So I've got all these print books, but a lot of people are going to the Internet for information. So they can go to my website, drcarolindean.com, and it's under Wellness Program. I also have a free health blog that people can follow that I give out information all the time. It's just trying to get a balance of health information to try to offset the commercials that everybody's inundated with now when they read papers or they watch television or even on the Internet. You're being conditioned to think that if you have a symptom, then there's a drug to treat it. Unfortunately, every drug that's ever been invented has a side effect.
I know. I get so frustrated. I tell people, you don't have a shortage of Wellbutrin, or you don't have a shortage of hydrochlorothiazide in your body, why do you think that the fixing it is the putting that in there? There's something nutritional going on, it has to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So why don't you go through your seven pillars of health for your program?
Ah, yes. The seven pillars are food, supplements, et cetera, exercise, personal care, living space, sleep, and body-mind. So in the first week, we went into ancestral diet, old-fashioned vitamin C, sesame oil, nasal application, and electric power and electric devices.
What's a nasal application?
It's using drops of sesame oil in the nose, according to the Ayurvedic tradition. It can be very helpful, not just for lubricating the nose, but also for brain health.
Really? I've
mm-hmm.
never heard that. That's interesting.
Oh, yeah. There's so many simple things that have been sidelined, and I think magnesium was one of those things, and I'm so happy that we're spending so much time talking about these basic things that people need to know.
When you use, I don't mean to get off this topic of your pillars, but when you use transdermal or any other kind of magnesium, does it increase DHEA? Do you need
Norm
to supplement?
Right. Norm Shealy says that the transdermal acts on receptors in the skin, tissues of the skin, to stimulate DHEA production. I don't know if anyone's done the studies to prove that, but that's his theory about it.
What about vitamin D with magnesium? Is there any significant connection there? D3?
I think I researched that. I didn't find anything direct, but I know it's somewhere because, you see, the vitamin D research is even further behind than the magnesium. And we're only now finding out the importance of vitamin D. And for so many years, we were just telling people to take 400 or 800 units. And now we're finding that people might need more like 4,000 units.
Mm-hmm.
So we're finding out more and more about vitamin D all the time, but I don't know exactly the magnesium connection.
What do you, what are the supernutrients that you talk about on your pillars of health? Is that supplements or foods or both? What do you mean when you say
that? Oh, yes, supplements and foods. Under supplements, for example, then we went the week three, we were looking at B complex, magnesium week four, we're going to be looking at bioidentical sex hormones, psyllium, looking at how to diagnose thyroid problems.
How would you
chlorellin.
Do that? How would you diagnose thyroid problems now that you brought it up?
Yes, with that, we'd be looking at temperatures. There's this wonderful little laser thermometer that the construction workers use to check temperatures of whatever they're doing, and you can use it to help find your temperature, because now that we don't have mercury thermometers, it's hard to get a good basal temperature. And most folks are way below the 98.6 and way below even 98. So I'll have clients. I do telephone consultations, so that's where my client base is on the telephone. So I'll have clients who they'll run a temperature of 95.6, and their doctors don't even blink, whereas the enzymes in the body, a lot of them are temperature sensitive, and they don't work below 98 degrees.
Oh, that's very interesting. You know, my doctor tested my thyroid one time, but he didn't do the right test. So he came back and said,
yes,
your thyroid's fine, but he did the wrong test.
Yes, and the blood tests these days are the wrong test. They really aren't finding the problem. Part of the diagnosis of thyroid is if you have enough iodine. And that's a whole other story in terms of supernutrients and what we're forgetting to supplement people with. One of the big ones is iodine. our RDA says we need, you know, a few hundred micrograms, whereas apparently research in Japan shows that in their diet they're getting about 12.5 milligrams. The thyroid itself can hold about 50 milligrams of iodine. So I spend a long time with a lot of clients doing 24-hour urine analysis for iodine. Mm-hmm. And finding that everybody I tested was deficient.
Interesting. Well, you know, they tell you to stop using salt. So you stop using salt, and then you forget. They forget to tell you you need to supplement your iodine.
Correct. And the iodine they used in salt anyway wasn't really the right kind. I learned about iodine early on because I worked with a Dr. Gint up in Ontario, Canada, and he was doing research on iodine for fibrocystic breast disease, taking oral iodine, and it would help stimulate the white blood cells that used iodine or peroxidases to chew up scar tissue or cysts or debris or whatever. So iodine is very necessary for the immune system. So he was getting rid of fibrocystic breast disease, cysts on the ovaries, and none of his patients were developing breast cancer. So
really?
that was the beginning of the iodine research.
So how is he treating them? Is it with drops? Is it the same kind of iodine that they use, like, surgically, that's food grade, I guess?
The Lugols. Back then, it was a potassium iodate, and it had to be in a special liquid. But now they've got formulas that are called one of the ones I recommend, because I don't prescribe over the phone. One of the ones is Iodorol. And Iodorol, you can Google that, and it's a 12.5 milligram tablet that can be a daily dose of iodine.
Interesting. Does it matter if it's a tablet or a liquid? From an absorption point of view?
Well, the liquid is probably better, and I'm asking the complete H2O mineral people to make me a concentrated iodine so that people can get it in the angstrom form, so that will be absorbed directly to the cell. Because, yes, the you can put iodine on your skin like you do transdermal magnesium. We used to use Lugol solution and iodine solution. Paint the bottom of your feet with that at night, and you know, try not to stain your bedclothes. But in the morning, if the Lugol is all absorbed, then you know your body needed that iodine. So that used to be the way I recommended iodine until I found the Iodorol.
That's very interesting. Okay, I've told you that you could have some time to talk about whatever you wanted to talk about. So we've got about 10 to 12 minutes left. What would you like to talk about, Carolyn?
Well, I don't mind keeping answering questions. I think we're getting a lot of good information out there. I'll continue on some of the things that I'm doing in the Pillars for Health, but if something strikes you, just, you know, dive in. For example, under supplements, et cetera, I have bentonite. And the way I use bentonite is in the liquid clay form. And for yeast detoxification, I use psyllium seed powder, bentonite clay, and a liquid caprylic acid called caproil. And that works like a jelly that sweeps through the intestines. And the psyllium sweeps up the yeast, the caproil kills the yeast, and the bentonite absorbs the toxins. So if I have someone who's just plain toxic and maybe just starting to go on a yeast-free diet, I tell them to take bentonite an hour or two away from food or supplements, and that actually absorbs enough toxins that they don't get a yeast die-off reaction.
That's interesting. What were those ingredients? I mean, what were those supplements again? Psyllium
and caproil, C-A-P-R-O-Y-L.
What
is that? It's a liquid. It's a liquid caprylic acid. Caprylic acid is a well-known antifungal made from coconut.
Okay.
But in the liquid form, it works a lot better in this formula, because if you're just taking a pill, you know, you're just hoping that it breaks down and it starts killing things. But in this sort of jelly application, it really does help reduce the yeast in the intestines.
That's interesting.
Another thing that I've been looking at, and actually it was after I went to a couple of meetings in Europe on the Codex Alimentarius, where the World Health mm-hmm. Organization and World Trade Organization are trying to limit the potency and the types of supplements we can use. That's when I found the Angstrom company, because they're very low potency and they won't be regulated by Codex. And the same with whole food supplements. I recommend a company called Grown by Nature. And they're a plant-based vitamins and minerals. And what the process is growing one-celled plants in nutrient broths, and then the plant incorporates the nutrients, it chelates them, it makes them bioavailable to humans, and then they're absorbed, and they only have to be like one-tenth of the potency of synthetic supplements, because not even. It's not diluted to the point of homeopathy, which is, you know, to beyond Avogadro's number. This is real substance. Like, you can get a 200 milligram tablet of vitamin C complex. But in the synthetic sense, for example, vitamin C on the shelves, if you look at the label, it usually just says ascorbic acid. And the source can be a synthetic source. You can make ascorbic acid in the lab.
Mm-hmm.
And vitamin C in a food is a C complex. It's got about 12 different chemical compounds. So by just taking ascorbic acid, you're only actually getting 1/12 of the vitamin C complex that your body requires.
How do you chelate toxic metals with people?
I learned that from the autistic community and the autistic kids that I've had the privilege of working with. And what was working with kids years ago was intravenous glutathione and intravenous phosphatidylcholine. But, you know, it's just with kids and IVs and the side effects of just an IV. But over the years, formulas have been developed that make it possible to absorb glutathione and phosphatidylcholine orally, and they work about 80% as well as IV. So there's an oral glutathione available from Wellness Pharmacy, and there is phosphatidylcholine called PhosCol that's on a website called phoscol.com. So that's my basic detox formula, because so many of them, they'll start pulling out heavy metals and they just recirculate through the body without the proper chelators.
Do you think those foot detox ionic baths work?
Well, the ionic bath, I mean, they've been around for a little bit, and what I did was I went out and got a car battery and a couple of ionizing rods and made my own bath, and I put some salt in some water in a pan, stuck the rods in, turned on the car battery, and I walked away for a bit, and when I came back, the water was black, well, dark brown and black. So, you know, if I had my feet in there, you know, would I have assumed that that was coming out of my body? The ionization process itself creates that coloration in the water. And my concern, what I tell people to avoid them, because my concern is, well, then are you absorbing those toxins from the metal rods?
That's what I thought too. And then I tried using baking soda in the water, and that doesn't change color at all. So then my question became, does the charge do something to chelating the metals?
Yes, I don't know. I mean, there are some practitioner friends who swear by them and continue to use them, but I was skeptical. And the herbal detox pads, I've had people, very sensitive people, who it was difficult to detox them otherwise. On their own, they've done the detox pads and found that their levels of metals dropped by using the pads. So they're probably working on a certain level of pulling out herbally. You know, I don't know exactly what herbs they use, but I'm sure they have some beneficial effect.
Okay, I was just curious because I've heard both ways, and I didn't, you never know what to think.
Well,
about.
I did my own research. I wouldn't have believed it unless I did it myself. It was amazing.
But I think, you have to think that if you put your feet in hot water and it opens up your pores and it's got all that nasty stuff that if that's turning black, it's got to go back in you.
Exactly.
It's only logical.
You and I know about the magnesium Epsom salts baths, or you can do an Epsom salts foot bath. You can put an ounce or two of the transdermal magnesium in a whole bath, and it can really help detoxify.
What do you think about? I started getting I waste so much. I went to the pet store that did saltwater aquarium and bought magnesium chloride there and put it in my foot bath. Do you think that's safe, or do you think that's dangerous for the kidneys?
I think it's safe. The magnesium chloride, it's usually either a mined mineral or it comes from the ocean. If it's safe for pets, it's probably doubly safe for humans because pets are so sensitive. I'm sure pet store magnesium is, or for aquariums or whatever, I'm sure it's tested for heavy metals. I've heard some people say that if it comes from the ocean, then how do we know it doesn't have mercury?
It made it a cheap way to do that much magnesium, So you got
Well, now I was just going to say, with the Angstrom magnesium, I think you'll do a lot better.
I'm going to call them. I want to have them on my show. Everybody I know needs it, and I'm glad to hear about that.
Well, there's a veterinarian that's been using the magnesium. He'd make a brilliant guest on the show because it's like he's doing animal experiments all the time with these Angstrom minerals, and he has some great stories. Dr. Terry Wood.
Oh, look him up. I'm always looking for good people.
Great.
All right, you got a couple of minutes left if you want to talk about your workshop,
Wellness program. Sure. Yes, I would love people to go to my website, drcarolyndean.com, and click on Wellness Program and look through the course. It's very affordable. We've tried hard to keep it that way. And also, if you're a health practitioner, you can join the program and then become an affiliate of it so that you can have it for your clients and get the benefit of the course and also benefit from it in other ways. What a lot of practitioners are doing is using the course as a jumping-off point for their weekly or twice-monthly seminars, where their clients take the course and then they sit and go over the seven pillars and everybody shares what they're doing and how they're benefiting. Because it really does help to do this program with others. We make that work on the internet because we have a Q&A section where people can ask us questions, and we update the whole group on the answers so that everybody can learn from one another. And it's one of these things where with the cost of health care, we really do have to take responsibility for our own health. And people can't afford the drugs or the supplements. And if something as simple as a few ounces of sesame oil can clear up somebody's headaches and sinus congestion and, you know, a myriad of other problems, then so much the better.
And you do that?
It's just putting, not just, I mean, there's a technique to it, and there's, we give a few pages of explanation, but it is putting drops of sesame oil in your nose and inhaling them. You have to be a little careful doing it, but sesame oil therapy, nasal inhalation of sesame oil is, as I said, an Ayurvedic tradition.
That's interesting. I've never heard it. So one more question I wanted to ask you. What do you do for people who have edema? You know, like...
Well, it...
What do you do for
edema,
that?
Edema, I mean, it can, there's so many things. It can be protein deficiency. Women who are pregnant will get edema, and it tends to be a magnesium deficiency, and sort of the imbalance there. It can be in the legs. You can get edema in the chest. When I tried to go macrobiotic many years ago, I got edema in my lungs because I was protein deficient. That's one of the things. Protein deficiency is one of the things we cover, in week two, because there are a lot of people who, when they adopt a healthy lifestyle, they think it means being vegetarian, but they don't have a clue how to get enough protein to meet their needs.
Interesting.
So one of the main things for edema is protein deficiency.
I'm learning so much from you tonight that I've never heard. That's interesting.
Well, that's wonderful.
And all of your books are on CarolynDean.com, and then how do you spell that?
DrCarolynDean.com. Yes, I just linked through to Amazon for the books. But yes, most of them are there, the description of them, or they're directly on Amazon. The main thing I am promoting at this point is the Future Health Now wellness program, because I think, to me, it's the answer to the healthcare problem, because if we can stay well, we will stay out of the hospital. And it's not just the physical, and I know you absolutely relate to this, it's your attitude. Half of the time when we give the advice in the health module is we say, if you can think your way out of this, if you could attitude your way out of this, if you can think the highest and best thoughts and know that you're in a perfect place right now and accept where you are and be happy where you are, but want more, then that's the answer to most of health's problems, you know, where the cares of life strangely slip away because you don't worry about them.
I totally agree. Accepting responsibility, submitting to what is. The problem with our medicine, I hate to even get off on this because we only have a minute left, but everybody wants, the conventional world wants a pill. They don't want to have to do anything.
And we've been hypnotized into believing that, and we can educate people away from that. You're doing it with your show. I'm doing it with my program, where people can be educated. Once people know, I mean, even how to sit on a toilet, the conveniences that we've adopted, you know, willy-nilly, you know, without knowing our choices, are partly what's making or can be making us sick, and we can overcome that.
I totally agree. Okay, DrCarolynDean.com, your magnesium book is fabulous. It changed my life, and I thank you for doing what you did.
Thank you very much.
I hope you'll come back on my show sometime again and talk about some of the other information. You're like an encyclopedia of information.
Thank you.
I'd love to.
Thank you. Good night. Good night.
Hi, this is Elliot Dasher. author of Integral Health.
Integral Health.
You can hear me and others speaking about consciousness and health. Just tune in every Sunday evening at 7 p.m. to Infinite Consciousness with Eva Harris.